Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone in the franchise world. My name is Paul Segreto, and this is Franchise Today. Today, my guest is Joe Caruso, well-known franchise executive and my co-producer at Franchise Today. Joe's been very instrumental in putting together very popular segments and series for Franchise Today, and I look forward today to revisiting some of the very important and relevant topics we addressed on the show in the first half of 2010. As well, we'll touch upon some of the things on the horizon for the third quarter of 2010. Speaking of the third quarter in football, this quarter is key to the outcome of the game, and in business, it's no different. As I wrote on the Franchise Essential site and mentioned on Franchise News Radio yesterday, corrections must be made on problems and challenges from the first half. Improvements must be made on things that were headed in the right direction, but not quite as effective as you'd like. And significant changes must be made if the game plan just isn't working. Of course, be sure to look at execution of the plan as well. So whether you're building upon that first half lead or playing catch-up, now's the time to kick things into high gear to achieve your goals and objectives of 2010. Waiting for late in the third quarter at the start of the fourth quarter may just be too late. And here's a few questions to ponder. You know, what challenges did you face in the first half of 2010, and what measures are you implementing to overcome those challenges in the second half of 2010? On the other hand, if you're on target, you really feel you're on target, will you stay the course and, in essence, not rock the boat? Or will you implement some changes to build upon that first half success? I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. So send me an email with your answers to paulsegreto@fmdpro.com. Yesterday on Franchise News Radio, I spoke about a great post resolving franchise disputes on the Franchise Note blog. The blog author, Yvonne Wijaya, states, "Franchising is about teamwork and relationship. In any kind of relationship, you'll encounter frictions, whether you like it or not. Here's Yvonne's view on how to resolve franchise disputes. He says, disputes are often inevitable. Franchisors are doing their best in forming a franchise agreement that will work for them and for the franchisees. Franchisees are also doing their best in complying with the agreed franchise terms. Unfortunately, there will be times that what's written in the franchise agreement can't be met by either franchisors or franchisees. Since there are high expectations from both sides towards the franchise agreement, a small mistake can damage the relationship built carefully and with good intentions. Now, when it happens," goes on to say, "what should you do to resolve the dispute?" And he narrows it down to four steps. He says the first one, real simple, let's have a cup of coffee. A friendly dialogue is the first and foremost you need to do in resolving any disputes. Both franchisor and franchisees need to be professional and level-headed in this friendly dialogue. Remember, the aim of this dialogue is to solve problems, not point fingers at each other. A good communication is often all we need to resolve disputes, including those in franchising. His second step is a mediator can be a big help. If you can't settle disputes on your own, you need to hire the help of a mediator, as mediation is not considered as a legal process and involves no witnesses, no discovery, and no fees. In the mediation, the aim is not to pick a winner. The aim of mediation is to settle disputes without pointing fingers at each other. If both of you are members of local franchise association, you can ask for their help to be a mediator. All in all, choosing the right mediator is the key in mediation. And then his third step is calling for arbitration. Unfortunately, healthy communication is not always about being able to mend broken expectations and conflicting perspectives. If this is your case, you need an alternative dispute resolution in the form of arbitration. An arbitrator is a legal referee that is neutral. Whenever possible, you need to find ways to solve problems at this stage, as arbitration is proved to save a lot of money in the form of legal costs of litigation. And then, of course, he indicates litigation is the last resort. He says their resources are they're very time-consuming resource-wise. They cost you a fortune and can take months, even years, in resolving the dispute. Litigations are the right place to point fingers, presenting evidence as convincing judges and such. But he goes on to say, I am not a lawyer, so you need to consult with a franchise lawyer to learn about your options better. He does have one last suggestion. Keep yourself on step one and be level-headed and understand that no one's perfect. Remember, franchising is about teamwork and relationships, and if your franchisor failed, you would fail too and vice versa. Well, it's a pretty good post, Yvonne. With that, I remind our listeners to tell your franchisees how much you appreciate them. And for the few franchisees that do listen to Franchise Today, I'm sure your franchisor would appreciate hearing the same from you. After all, we are all in this together. So today, we're going to recap the first half of 2010 on Franchise Today. And I invited our co-producer, the Franchise Today co-producer, Joe Caruso, to be my guest. I say invited because I did have to persuade him a little bit. I felt it was important to do so as Joe is really the force behind some of the great segments and series we had over the past 6 months. And could anyone dispute the powerful lineup of guests that he put together for those shows? The list could very well be considered a who's who in franchising with the likes of Lane Fisher, Warren Lewis, Daryl Johnson, B.J. Emerson, Leslie Curran, Deb Evans, Michael Webster, Ron Feldman, Ron DeSantis, and many others. Joe, thank you for being my guest today, and I certainly appreciate all the hard work you've done behind the scenes at Franchise Today. Welcome to the show.
Well, good afternoon, Paul, and it is a pleasure to be on the show. I think you give me way too much credit for the success of Franchise Today and Franchise News Radio, but you are right about one thing. The guests have been superb. The content that they delivered is relevant to franchising and to franchisors, and I think it's been a terrific source of information for folks in the franchising industry.
Absolutely. You know, I remember coming to you back in January, and we have quite a few lengthy conversations over the last couple of years or year and a half, and I told you about the dilemma I felt that I had with Franchise Today of making the information, you know, pertinent, relevant, very informative to the franchise community. And I remember you saying that there was basically no other radio show on the air that provided the type of information that was necessary for franchisors. I mean, there was a lot out there that was promoting franchise concepts, and there was a lot of propaganda, but there was nothing that kind of was an extension of training, an extension of updates and insights into the hot topics involving franchising. And you know, we started out based on that conversation. I remember the one thing you did say is you said you got to have a purpose and you got to have a mission. And I know it took us a little while to actually finally define really where we needed to go. I remember our first few episodes under the relaunch of Franchise Today, and they were good, but they weren't as focused as the latter ones were. So share with the audience some of your thoughts behind the purpose and the mission and the direction you saw that Franchise Today should head.
Well, first let me say, I think you're absolutely right that there certainly are other media out there, radio-type shows like yours, on the Internet or on the AM or FM dial, that are focused on communicating basic information to people who might want to become a franchisee. I think that there are other types of content out there that are being delivered that are pretty much infomercials for products and services to the franchisor community. But there really wasn't anything out there that was delivering relevant content that was, you know, dispelling myths that are in franchising, giving franchisors tools and information that they can use. And I think that that was one of the precepts for of what we were trying to achieve with the franchise today. And I think the real turning point for franchise today was back in May. And that's not to say that the other shows prior to that were not as good. I think it just the show came into its own with the Franchise Legal series. Because they were hard-hitting shows, the guests are some of the best franchise legal minds that you can find, and the topics were absolutely relevant. I mean, can you think of any franchisor that wouldn't benefit from hearing Lane Fisher talk about Item 19 financial performance representations? I can't.
No, it was it was a fascinating series, and it was amazing how many young upstart franchisors contacted me afterwards and basically thanked us for providing training to them as a franchisor that they never had and never knew where to go. And I hear that quite often as we work through, you know, the Legal Eagle series, the franchise finance series, even in the earlier social media series. It was things that they felt they just were not able to get anyplace else, and to hear it from the best of the best, the Lane Fishers, the Ron Feldmans, and all our guests. I mean, that is really what made a tremendous impact.
Well, and I certainly agree. Opportunity to get information that's relevant to your business, that might seem easy. You know, you can go buy a book. There's certainly some great books out there on franchising and licensing, but they're not really where the rubber meets the road. And the information that was delivered by Lane and certainly Leslie Kern when she talked about the pros and cons of using franchise brokers, she really delivered information in her presentation that was absolutely relevant, but it wasn't sugarcoated in any way, and it wasn't trying to sell the idea of using brokers. It wasn't necessarily trying to say that you shouldn't use brokers, but it really gave you a roadmap, a path as to how to use them and how to use them safely. And I think that was relevant. Now, what's an interesting aspect of franchise today is that there's a nexus between the show and what's actually happening in other venues. As you know, I live on the East Coast, and I live in Maryland between Philadelphia and Washington, D.C., and I'm in a unique area geographically. There are four IFA franchise business networking meetings within driving distance of my office, and I attend all four of them. And the furthest one is an hour and a half away, where you know many of our guests are in attendance as well, franchise attorneys, franchisors, and I think when we're writing the show. It's taking the information that's delivered at these IFA events and leveraging them and taking some of the best information that's out there. And if the guests haven't been to a franchise business networking meeting, you really got to go because it's terrific opportunity to get good information. But a lot of that information that I get from those franchise business networking meetings translates into the show content. And also, was kind of the genesis for the new San Antonio Austin franchise business networking event that's going to begin in September that you are the sponsor of. So, so many good things have come out of Franchise Today. Franchise Today is connected to franchising in so many different ways it's exciting and it's fun, but it's also I think the audience gains a perspective on franchising that they may not have had, and even for those people that have been in franchising for many, many years, I think there's advantages to listening, and their knowledge of franchising will grow. Some of their thoughts about process and procedure in franchise sales, operational support, lead generation, legal strategies will be influenced by the content that comes out on the show.
Right, and I know, specifically one time, not that it was the only time, but you came back from the Capital Area Franchise Association meeting, and as they call it, CAPA, correct?
CAFA.
Right. And you you sent me a book, The Franchise Seller's Handbook, which is written by Warren Lee Lewis, a fabulous attorney at Ackerman Centerfeet. And I just ran with it. This book, I know in part put the franchise sellers, the show put the Franchise Seller's Handbook on the map, because I know Warren has said he's been getting a lot of calls. A lot of inquiries online. I know we have. I know he sent me a whole case of them to be handed out at the first San Antonio Austin Franchise Business Network meeting in September. And it's a fabulous book. I mean, and it helps strengthen franchising. It helps promote franchise best practices. And it can't be nothing but beneficial to all the startup and emerging franchisors that are out there in the franchise community today. And
well,
I thank you for that book. I mean, because it's here. Matter of fact, I need to take a new one out of the case because this one is all dog-eared and stained and everything else because I refer to it so much.
Well, Warren's handbook, he made it available at one of the CAFA meetings, and I saw it there, and it's not very big, but
not at all.
It's full of great information, and it's a great tool. And I saw them there, and I grabbed a couple of them, and I didn't really look at it till I got back to my office, and I looked at this, and I said, where has this handbook been all of my career in franchising? Because I so many franchise development folks and operations people. Some of the aspects of franchising are counterintuitive, especially for franchise salespeople, but also for franchise operations people. You think about, you're talking to prospective franchisees, franchise candidates, and someone tells you you're a new a franchise salesperson or a new operations person, and they tell you, hey, you can't talk about how much money someone might make. If someone asks you how much money you think I can make doing this, you can't proffer an opinion. It has to be in this thing called the franchise disclosure document and back then a uniform franchise offering circular. And for somebody that is intelligent and has had business experience and they're put into that role in sales or operations, and it seems a little odd that you can't talk to somebody who's going to make a significant investment in a franchise concept about how much money they're going to make. You could do that if you were selling a distributorship. You could do that if you were, involving them in multi-level marketing. If you were selling a business idea, you could do that. If you were selling an existing business, you can offer any kind of opinion you want. But in franchising, there are rules. And sometimes those things are hard to communicate to people within the franchise organization. This book gives the explanations in very easy to understand terms, and it reinforces habits for seasoned people, and it's a terrific guide for training new people. And to have it on your desk as a refresher, It was just spectacular, and I think it just evolved from there. I mean, I sent you a copy of it, and we decided, geez, we ought to have a franchise legal series, and this ought to be one of the shows.
Yeah, and it's amazing how the legal series kind of unfolded. We started off with on April 29th was the live air date, the Independent Franchise Associations and their role in franchise relationships, and our guest was franchisee attorney Michael Webster of the International Association of Franchisees and Dealers. And we, you know, talked about franchisee associations and that they're not this bad. They're not always starting out as this ill-willed, fighting type of organization where a lot of people in franchising think franchisee associations start out. And it was a great segment. And then when we introduced the following week, Lane Fisher, and then subsequently the next week, Warren Lewis, it was like it took all the meat of the legal aspects of franchise sales and best practices. And even though Lane and Warren were not together on the same show, there was this synergy, this continuity that just flowed through that part of the series. And then when we wrapped up the last week on May 20th, with the pros and cons of utilizing franchise brokers with Leslie Curran, again, it was about franchise sales. It was about best practices. It was about the do's and don'ts with FPRs and stuff. But yet, it was from the perspective of used franchisors using franchise brokers. And it's really amazing how this series just had this symmetry throughout and like I said, continuity. And I think that's really, and I agree with you, I think that's where Franchise Today turned the corner. I think it's the backbone foundation of Franchise Today. And quite frankly, it's going to be hard to repeat that type of series.
Well, I don't know that it's going to be that hard to repeat. I mean, I think some of those guests will be recurring guests. There's also a lot of other great minds in franchising on the legal side of things that we can have as guests. There's always going to be topical events happening in franchising. I mean, I don't think we're going to have a lot of things like the 2008 FTC rule change happening. And, you know, the last one took 15 or 20 years to happen. I don't think we can look forward to that being an event. But certainly there's going to be issues related to franchising that the audience is going to be interested in. But I also, you know, want to make a point about the legal series and how it benefits the audience. And, you know, a lot of times franchisors, and I've been in that seat where I have a question about something, and you know, I call an attorney, and $3,000 later, I get my answer. But if I just ask the question in a more formal way or more thought out strategic way, I may not have spent $3,000. And I've also found out that oftentimes in talking to an attorney that I started on one path and ended up someplace else. So I think the legal series really helps franchising professionals kind of formulate strategies, formulate questions, and really leverage their outside counsel, and can realize the savings from that. I think, on the other hand, and we all know there are franchising professionals out there that shoot first and ask questions later. It may give them pause to take a particular action. So they do call up their legal counsel to get some advice before making a decision. And I think that was readily apparent in Leslie Curran's presentation. And you know, she lamented, and I can't remember if it was on the show or because I know Leslie quite well, and we've talked about brokers over the years, and that's how the show really came about. That you know, oftentimes the outside legal counsel is the last person to know that they're using brokers.
Right. Yeah.
And they find out once there's a problem.
Right.
And you know, if it's a problem where a broker helps sell a franchise in a way that's not compliant, it's kind of difficult to unring that bell. So I think she made some really good points of, you know, what steps can you take? And if you had to call up and ask Leslie or any of your peers, you know, you may have had to pay a little bit of money for it. And it would have been money well spent. But now if you listen to her show or you go back to replay that podcast of that show or even Lane's show on FPRs, you're going to have a lot better questions to ask your attorney. You're going to get a better solution, and you're probably going to save money in the meantime.
Absolutely. You know, and it's amazing how this legal series started sprouting legs, too, because as I said, the first one was about independent franchisee associations. It led to you actually going to the IAFD inaugural event in Indianapolis, Indiana, even though you knew Michael Webster before this. That pointed down the road to you being invited to it. We've since had Steve Ellerhorst, the head of the IAFD, I believe his title is Chief Executive Officer of the IAFD. He was on the show actually the week before the 4th of July, very insightful, as well as you got to sit there with Nancy Weingartner from Franchise Times, who also became a guest on the show when we talked about Franchise Times perspective and insight, and then how Franchise Today and Franchise News Radio are truly sisters, because we now have Franchise Times, Nancy Weingartner, providing us insight on a weekly basis into what's coming out in future issues of Franchise Times and events that are going on that other people might not be immediately privileged to. So the legs started to grow out of this Legal Franchise series and continues to this day. And I know it continued even into the Franchise Finance series because I know, you know, Daryl Johnson and Ron Feldman and Lane Fisher, they run around in the same circles at the IFA, and they're very involved. And I know they were, I at least know Ron and Lane were involved in the UNConference in Park City, Utah, and both of them spoke about that. And it really just brings this camaraderie of franchise community together, and it's amazing watching some of the comments going back and forth about each other being on the show on Facebook and on Twitter, and it's really a sense of pulling things together, and I think it's also starting to open the doors for these new upstart and emerging franchisors to get more involved and understand more of what the seasoned executives have to say. And I think it's going to make networking that much easier, because obviously when somebody walks up to Lane next year at the franchise convention, they could easily say, I heard you on the show, I have a question about this, and it breaks the ice.
Well, I don't want to say that Lane and Michael and Warren and Leslie were just doing this as a public service. Certainly, they're trying to promote their practices, but I think moreover they really are so dedicated to franchising, so interested in franchising, be a positive force in the economy, and to mitigate risk for franchisors generally, and certainly they try to mitigate risk for their clients. But you know, we really had the best in class franchising professionals for the better part of this year on the show. And you know, some people might say, well, geez, you know, the legal stuff, I'm not really that interested in legal stuff. I'm really, you know, I want to talk about how do I grow my brand. Well, you better be interested in the legal stuff, because if you look carefully at listen carefully to Lane's presentation, he made an excellent case that item 19, financial performance representations, are a great tool for selling franchises.
That's right.
If you also listen to both Ron Feldman and Daryl Johnson on financing, they basically said the same thing. And if you want to be able to get your ducks in a row to be able to sell more, making your franchise disclosure document a selling tool, making your franchise disclosure document a tool useful to lenders to be able to finance your franchisees, and joining the SBA registry, which is managed by Fran Data, Daryl Johnson's company, all those pieces fit together. And they become a toolkit for you to be able to sell more. And you know what? It's not just good enough selling the franchise. You actually got to open them up.
Yep. You know, it's as entrenched as I am in franchising, more on the marketing side than ever before, and know a little bit about franchise finance, I was just in amazement, and I personally walked away with so much information talking with Ron Feldman in the first part of the franchise finance series, which aired on June 10th, and then Daryl's portion of the franchise finance series that aired on June 17th. And it was just amazing, the wealth of information that's out there. And it really, I mean, if people would spend two hours listening to those two shows, an hour for each, and they are on demand on blogtalkradio.com/franchisetodayshow. It's the June 10th and June 17th episodes. If you do spend 2 hours, you will learn so much more about franchise finance. It actually demystifies franchise finance in the typical person's mind, without a doubt. And I don't think that to me was 4 textbooks worth of information.
In terms of if you're brand new to franchising or you are an old salty dog in franchising, you can benefit from listening to these shows. And I'm sure there's listeners today that are listening for the very first time. And you know, explaining to them and giving them direction on how to go back and listen to previous shows, I think it's vital if they really believe in what we're talking about. And if they're truly passionate about franchising, I don't see how you couldn't benefit from something. Hey, it's free. It's well worth your time. So, you know, time is money. But investing an hour in listening to Lane or Leslie or Warren, what's an hour of their time billed out at?
Yeah.
I think you can calculate the value pretty easily.
Absolutely. You know, and there's stuff on Franchise Today that was introduced that a lot of franchisors, again, a lot of the young and upstart franchisors and some of the emerging brands that are not IFA members and were not exposed to the IFA, the introduction of the IFA FranGuard program at the IFA convention in San Antonio in February. And I am March 4th. Show, we had David French, the Vice President of Government Relations at the IFA, on our show talking about franchise compliance and the new IFA FranGuard program. So again, you know, I know the IFA is just going through various cities rolling it out, and we got a lot of information out to the franchise community ahead of time because of the IFA's involvement in the show. And then we had Scott Lair on the show a few weeks later on April 15th, and we talked about franchising and the IFA. And Scott had just come back from the International Franchise Expo, which was, you know, successful in its own right. And he talked about it and talked about the new upcoming events at the IFA. And now the IFA, we have the IFA corner over at Franchise News Radio, which is franchise information that's given out every week about upcoming events and different things that are going on at the IFA. So it really helps people, the franchisors that are out there that are yet to become members of the IFA, to be a little bit more exposed to their activity and maybe continue to take the steps towards becoming a member. And I know we've also promoted FranPak quite a bit. And it's just a lot of these things that even the most astute people in franchising get so busy in their day-to-day activity, don't see what's actually going on. And I was really pleased that David French and Scott Lair committed their time on the show. And I hope I have had some communications with Steve Caldera, the new president and CEO of the IFA, and hopefully in the upcoming weeks we'll have Steve on the show as well. So, again, this is something that is a platform for a lot of people to learn about things where they might not have gotten it before.
Well, and I think you make an excellent point about the listeners that they're not all IFA members. And,
no.
And if you're serious about franchising, I know that you and I both agree that you really ought to be in the IFA.
Absolutely.
But a lot of people don't know is that you can go to the quarterly franchise business networking meetings and visit and listen to what gets discussed at the IFA and the topics that are on the agenda for those meetings without being a member. So
absolutely.
Find out where your if there is an FBN, Franchise Business Networking, meeting in your area, there's a complete list on the IFA's website, and that's franchise.org. So I encourage anybody that's not an IFA member that, you know, maybe they're not ready to become an IFA member, or maybe they're not even ready to begin franchising. Even if you're thinking about franchising your concept, the FBN meetings are terrific to go to. Look for one in your area. I'm blessed that I've got four of them in my area, plus the Capital Area Franchise Association meeting. So I've got a lot of exposure to these kinds of events. And depending on where you live, you might as well.
Right, absolutely. Now, I don't want, especially the new listeners, to think that this is all about attorneys and finance people and basically franchise suppliers. Because we've had quite a few shows where we've had franchisors on the show telling us the things that they do, whether it be about integrated franchise marketing, the guys over at Franchise Foundry, Jonathan Martin, who runs franchise development for Retired Home Services up in Canada, was talking about building a brand yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Deb Evans was on talking about how Computer Explorers has utilized social media very effectively, both from a franchise development and a franchisee communications tool. So, you know, we've got franchisors coming on sharing some of their best practices, and I know it was really quite interesting listening to Amy Nichols, CEO and founder over at Dogtopia, talk about the various things she does with social media, and specifically with geo-specific type of activity. And again, this is a lot of stuff that might normally not be shared unless you read it in a magazine, you know, at some time. I mean, this is a way of listening to a whole hour. It opens the door. All of our guests have a way to be communicated with. We give email addresses. We post it on various social media platforms, whether it be on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn. I know now Franchise Today Show, there's a link to it on the IAFD site as well as on the franchiseexecutives.com site as well as on my own site and on Block Talk Radio. So it just keeps expanding. You know, we even had a live show from Australia the night of May 13th, and it was a special edition of Franchise Today, and we started out as a 30-minute segment with Greg Nathan, a renowned psychologist and best-selling author of Profitable Relationships and the Franchise E-Factor, And of course, he was there to promote his franchise relations boot camp. Well, what started out as 30 minutes actually lasted an hour and had quite a large audience, especially listening on demand that weekend. And without Franchise Today, who knows how many people would have been exposed to some of the great insight that Greg Nathan has.
Well, unless you have a copy of his book and or someone gave you a copy of his book, you may not know someone like that. And I think
right.
You make a good point that the legal series, the finance, subject experts such as Greg Nathan, all of those things fit within the rubric of what Franchise Today is all about. And Franchise Today is really all about helping franchisors build durable and sustainable franchise systems. It's not enough to sell franchises. It's not enough to just sell them and get them open. It's the ongoing relationship and the health and welfare of your franchisees. And the best barometer of that is, are they making money? And are you able to communicate with them to help them be able to maximize their unit-level operations? All of those things, again, fall under that rubric of building durable and sustainable franchise systems.
Yep. You know, the first series we did was kind of an informal series. It didn't run, consecutive weeks. There was kind of a little bit of space in between until we looked back and realized it was a series and now have decided that, consecutive segments are best in the series. And the series that I'm first referring to is the social media series, which we started on February 25th. With Deb Evans, and as I said, she talked about how they're using social media over at Computer Explorers. And then a couple of weeks later, Amy Nichols was on, and then the following week, BJ Emerson shared some of the social opportunities for multi-unit operators as he came back from the multi-unit conference in Las Vegas. But I think the highlight of that series, and nothing against BJ or Amy or Deb, had to be integrating social media with current PR programs with Rhonda Sanderson. I actually felt like I was Johnny Carson on The Tonight Show. It was a blast of a show.
Well, Rhonda is a powerhouse. I hired Rhonda back when I was at Hardee's Food Systems in, I think, 1994. And I've hired her a number of times, and she is full of energy. She's got a terrific staff, and she knows everybody, and she knows how to get your story out there. She knows how to deliver content, and being able to leverage what they do in PR against social media, I don't think you can find someone more qualified than Rhonda to be on Franchise Today.
Now, there's a lot of them out there in that segment that try, maybe half-assed at times, but I don't think many of them can hold a candle to Rhonda Sanderson. It's really fun to see, as I said before, the different guests communicating back and forth via social media when each of them are on the show. But it's also neat when I see their staff promoting, like Rhonda's staff was promoting the heck out of Rhonda being on the show before, during, and after the show. And what's really a unique advantage to some of these, to most of the guests, if it's done that way and their name is put out there, is it actually adds to their SEO, to their search engine optimization, because as we know, Google and real-time search results are primarily based upon social media activity and content. This type of stuff, blog talk radio, internet radio, as well as all the different mediums and channels that we use to promote the show, is all part of social media. So all of a sudden, you're starting to see, their names go to the top of their search pages. And it's just those nice little added features, because each show, we have keywords and tags that we do as we announce the show, and it goes through social media. And I know some of them said, geez, I didn't know. I did a Google search on some things for my company, and there was three or four different things listed about my appearance on Franchise Today. And then also, a lot of our guests are using it as podcasts to refer clients to refer their franchisees to. It's really a great tool all the way around, and I'm really proud to be part of it, and I'm really proud of the direction that we've taken with Franchise Today. And I know, Joe, you say I give you too much credit, but I have to say I don't think we would be where we are with Franchise Today without your insight and diligence in putting together these shows for us.
Well, I appreciate your kind comments, and I'm just blessed to have so many really great friends that also happen to be professionals in franchising. And I have to tell you, everyone that I've approached to be on the show has said yes. We haven't been turned down yet. Now, I do have a few people that are saying, why didn't you ask me to be on the show? Why did you ask so-and-so? And you know, you have to pick and choose a bit, but certainly Franchise Today is emblematic of using social media and integrated marketing techniques. You and I met through social media.
Absolutely.
Most of these guests I've met through professional relationships. You know, some of them I've used for advice at different franchise companies I've been an executive in. Certainly, I've met them at franchise business networking opportunities, the Capital Area Franchise Association, and so there's, you know, they're more traditional means. Rhonda Sanderson has been a pro in public relations, you know, before the internet became as prolific as it is today. So I think if you look at what Franchise Essentials, you know, the parent company of Franchise Today, what it does in integrated marketing, utilizing social media and traditional media opportunities, it shows that it does work. And you know, we've got quite an audience listening, and it's a targeted audience. It's primarily franchisors and those people that are allied to franchising. So if you have a goal in mind and you have a plan, it shows that you actually can be successful leveraging social media.
Right. You know, looking back as I was preparing for today's show and looking back at every segment of Franchise Today over the last 6 months, it's really interesting some of the non-topical information that came out of it that we, our listeners, have been exposed to. I know Leslie talked some about the Women's Franchise Network. As I said before, Ron Feldman and Lane Fisher talked about the UNconference. Michael Webster and yourself being on the show once to report back about the IFD convention, and then Steve Ellerhorst talked about it some. These are things that normally would fall under the radar. I know B.J. Emerson came back and told us some about the multi-unit franchising conference in Vegas. Scott Lair told us firsthand about what was going on at the International Franchise Expo. And these were things that were below the radar that came and went and probably would have been forgotten, but we had a chance to continue the messages that were given in these things, and I think that really helps too. And then, of course, being on demand always on the Franchise Today site on Blog Talk Radio gives people the opportunity to go back. It amazes me. You know, routinely we get, you know, a couple of hundred people that listen live every Thursday to Franchise Today, and that doesn't sound like a lot, and it's not when you consider the targeted audience that we have are roughly 10 to 12,000 franchise executives, but we have gotten as much as 5,000 plus on-demand listens over the weekend, and typically it's between 3 and 5,000. that's a big segment of that target audience. And I know now we're trying to, we're working towards getting it where it's on iTunes. But, you know, the thing I really want to emphasize on this, because I know when we talk a lot of guests, especially the franchisors, they say, well, what is this going to cost me? It doesn't cost anything. We don't charge our guests to be on the show because I feel we're not there just promoting their business, although, as you said earlier, you know, people aren't just doing it out of the goodness of their heart. They want to generate business for themselves. I understand that. But when they're sharing information that's so relevant and so important and so pertinent to our target audience, that to me is more than enough for our target audience to grasp, and it should be an opportunity for our guests to have a little bit of promotion about their brand or their business. And I never want to see us charging guests on this show. It would be wrong. I want it to be open to franchisors and suppliers alike, and just build this wealth of information that we can tap for years to come. Now,
well, I think that that's certainly a noble thing to say, but it's also about the audience, the listeners, having confidence in the content from the shows, that there isn't an ulterior motive, that it isn't an infomercial, that Paul Segreto is not the ShamWow guy.
Right.
You know, I think that that compact with the audience is an imperative, and it's paramount to the success of the show that the audience finds Franchise Today a reliable source of information on franchising.
Yes, absolutely. And I want to reiterate to franchisors and suppliers alike, contact me. Send me an email. Give me a call on the phone if you want to be a guest on Franchise Today, if you have an idea about a series or a segment. I know a lot of times, you know, we rack our brains at times, and all of a sudden we get a slew of ideas at one time and we run a series out of it. We need your help. And Franchise Today wouldn't be what it is without our guests. So I encourage you, there's no cost. I encourage you to contact us, get on the show. Let's talk about something that's relevant and pertinent. We don't surprise anybody with questions. We go through a series of questions that we put together ahead of time. We talk about it with the guests ahead of time. They're well prepared. They have full understanding of the topic. And we like moving forward with it, and we like to do it in a very conversational manner to make it enjoyable and easy to listen. And so many of our guests, it's amazing. I talk to all the guests after the show, and they say, I didn't even feel like I was on the radio. I felt like I was just on the phone having a conversation and couldn't believe that an hour blew by. And I think it's really, I think it has a lot to do with the preparation that goes into the show. Now, I know we've got some things coming up in the future, Joe. I know we've got a commitment from Marianne O'Connell, president over at FranWise. She'll be on the show next Thursday at noon, and we're going to be talking about the importance of operations manuals and all that goes into the proper development of ops manuals. And I think that's going to be an exciting show. And I know some others that we're lining up are going to talk about. You know, of course, we're going to have more IFA news and events to talk about, executive recruiting within franchising, you know, more franchise social media, of course, and various aspects of integrated franchise marketing, including franchise lead generation, leading over, of course, into franchise sales, technology within franchising, multi-unit operations, franchise operations, support and training. And, of course, we're going to continue to build upon the legal and finance series and do that on a very regular basis, even if it's a matter of coming back with some updates. Did I leave anything out, Joe?
I think you covered the gambit. I don't think sometimes we think we're going to run out of things to talk about, but that never seems to be the case. Like the idea that we're discussing a potential show with a premier executive recruitment professional, and a lot of franchisors don't think about. Well, I'm sure they do think about building their organization, but they don't get any good information about, here's what you should look for, or here's a step-by-step way or a philosophy that you might want to employ to be able to help build your organization. Because, if you're going to build durable, sustainable franchise systems, you have to build durable and sustainable franchisors. And I think the more content that is delivered in that vein is going to be helpful to the franchise community. The idea of these shows ever being contrived is just not in Franchise Today's lexicon. Certainly, having authentic information, relevant information, news you can use will be a hallmark of Franchise Today, as it has been in the previous shows, and it will be to continue.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it's amazing how fast that hour goes. We're running out of time. It never ceases to amaze me how quick an hour can go by, as it does right here on Franchise Today. I thank you again for your time today, Joe. And I certainly look forward to continue working with you through 2010 and beyond.
It's been a great collaboration. It's been a lot of fun, and all the guests have enjoyed it, and everyone that is a listener that I've spoken to gets a lot out of the content that we delivered and delivered to them, and that is something that is very valuable to me.
Well, it's great. I appreciate your participation. As I said, next week my guest is Marianne O'Connell, president of FranWise. Marianne and I will be discussing the importance of operations manuals and, of course, all that goes into the proper development of ops manuals. And I think that's the key phrase there is proper development. It should be an interesting show. Today's segment of Franchise Today will be available on demand shortly after we sign off the air at www.blogtalkradio.com/Franchise Today Show. And, of course, don't forget our sister show, Franchise News Radio, that airs live every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Central, 8 a.m. Eastern Time. Franchise Today and Franchise News Radio are both part of the Franchise Essentials Media Group. Until next week, I'm Paul Segretto wishing all within franchising success at all levels. Have a great day.